You may be seated. Good evening, everybody. It is wonderful to see you. Always good to be in the house of the Lord. Just to kind of get us started here, you've got a handout. Those of you that are at the campuses, you've got one too. Those of you at home, you don't really have one, but you can use mine. I'm not going to use the handout, but this is a tool that you can take home, and you can just grapple with it and think through it a little bit, but this is really just a resource for you. Those of you who worship on Facebook Live, send us an email here at Christ Church, and we would gladly attach that file and send it directly to you. Tonight, we're going to wrap up the Baptized by Fire series, and rather than review, I would like to simply push forward. So let's do that. Let's begin with our text. Pastoral letter addressed from the Apostle Paul to Timothy. Paul probably wrote the letter from a Roman prison just before his execution in AD 65. He is the son of a Greek father and a Jewish mother from Lystra in Asia Minor. Timothy joined Paul's missionary team. He is left to minister and to carry on the work in Greek Macedonia. As Paul writes this second letter, Timothy's leadership is no longer new. It's no longer exciting in that new sense. It's lost its new car smell. And the church is maturing. It's filling out. The church is also under attack. There's heresy and false teaching. And the false teaching is fashionable. And leadership is really incredibly challenging. And frankly, when I think about the circumstances surrounding this letter, it really seems like the state of the American church today. There are just so many parallels. So in light of where we are, what might God say to us tonight? Verse 6, fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands upon you. There's nothing of less benefit to God than a Christian leader or a Christian who is gifted, whose holy flame has gone out. Honestly, sometimes it's easier to deal with someone whose flame's gone out than with someone whose flame is smoldering. When I'm around a campfire, I would rather sit by a campfire completely out than one that just shoots smoke in my eyes. Revelation put it another way. Jesus said, I would that you be hot or cold. I'd rather be on fire completely out, but because you're lukewarm, you're just blowing smoke in my eyes. Paul says, Timothy, I know times are hard. And I know leadership's tough. You, my friend, need to turn up the flame. The final part of this verse is really important. It offers us a glimpse into how people initially receive the Holy Spirit. I'm really glad that Acts isn't all we've got. Because otherwise, the only people who would ever receive the Spirit are people who are meeting together when tongues of fire show up and begin landing on people. I don't know about you, but I don't think that happens a lot. But if the Holy Spirit is transmitted by the laying on of hands from one Spirit-filled person to a person who wants to be filled with the Spirit, that's doable. That really is doable. This is the technique. This is how it works. And it's a calm thing. You know, I think we got this idea today that everything has to be so sensational. You know, when we lay hands on each other for the filling of the Spirit, it just needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You don't need any of this. You don't need to scream and yell. You just need to use your gift in faith in accordance with the practice of the Bible. The firepower is provided by God. We are to practice like the New Testament practiced. How do you get the Holy Spirit? Someone with the Holy Spirit lays hands on you. That's how you get it. You say, well, I don't feel it. You may or may not feel it. The question isn't whether you feel it. The question is whether or not you got it. And you find out if you got it by what happens through your ministry as you move forward. Fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands up on you. Verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity. So one way we know that we have the Holy Spirit is that we're no longer fearful and timid. That's one way we know we got it. We're no longer fearful and timid in our Christian walk and in our ministry. One way we know we got the Spirit is we walk straight, we jump high, we minister big. We are emboldened by the power of the Holy Spirit. To be Spirit-filled is to have both the connect and the firepower, but it's also to have the credibility to do ministry that is congruent with what we see in the ministry of Jesus and of the New Testament church. Fear and timidity and powerful, effective ministry are mutually exclusive realms of existence. Where you got one, you don't have the other. So what has God given us? What is it God has given us? Three things listed in the text. If you're new, I don't make stuff up. I just give you what's in the text. Number one is power. Greek word, dunamis. Anybody want to guess what English word we get from that? Dynamite. Power. Boom. Power is the supernatural ability to accomplish any task God assigns to you. I love the verse that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's tapping into that power. To live our lives and to try to serve God in our own strength is to deny the power of the cross. It's to deny the power of the empty tomb. It's to deny the power of Pentecost. The idea isn't for you to try really hard to not be fearful and timid. The idea is to allow the Holy Spirit to completely remake you and empower you. So God gives us power. Number two, love. Agape, supernatural disposition God gives his children toward the world. Do you love your neighbor? What about the neighbor that treats you really badly? The one that said all those terrible things about you on Facebook. Do you love that one? The Bible application of agape love really doesn't have much to do with things like affinity or affection, but has much more to do with things like concern and commitment. Peter was asked by Jesus, do you love me? And then he was charged to feed my lambs. It's not what we say, it's what we do. It's not how we feel, it's how we act. So if love drives us, we will share our gifts boldly and joyfully. If love does not drive us, ministry is always going to seem like we're trying to pass a kidney stone. Number three, self-discipline. Self-discipline's tough for us. And this is where kind of we're dealt into the equation, because we're a nation of shortcutters. We don't eat right, so instead we spend billions of dollars on untested and potentially dangerous pills, diets, and gimmicks. We don't practice enough to hit a golf ball straight, so we buy these really high-tech drivers that allow us to hit our bad shots even further out of bounds. We can't afford the things we want, so we charge them. So we can't be faithful to God in our giving because we are crushed by consumer debt. And worst of all, we expect the same methodology that doesn't work in any other area of our lives to work in our spiritual life. Rather than invest the needed time, passion, and energy in the Word and in witness and in worship to forge in us the stuff of God, we often place our souls on the back burner and we wonder why our flame smolders. Or maybe it's gone out altogether. Power is what the Holy Spirit gives us. Love is the nature of God that flows from us. And self-discipline is what we must do for ourselves. There is a piece of this where you're just going to have to do some things for yourself. as we like to say in Southern Illinois, at some point you're just going to have to grab yourself by the hind end and decide you're going to make something of yourself. I used to not be a morning person, like for years. I wasn't a morning person. And then I found out how to be a morning person. You get up out of your stinking bed and you start your day. That's how you become a morning person. So tomorrow morning, my alarm is going to go off at 5:30. Am I going to feel good at 5:30? Not a chance. Am I going to feel refreshed at 5:30? Not a chance. Am I going to get out of bed? You better believe it. Because Melissa and I are going to walk. And then we're going to come back home and we're going to drink coffee and we're going to spend an hour together. And then I'm going to get a shower and I'm going to go to breakfast with my dad. And hours after I wake up, I'm going to get here to church and I'm going to give it everything I got all day long. Am I a morning person? Absolutely not. But I have figured out the key. Self-discipline. Stop expecting God to do the things you won't do for yourself. I figure when I give of my very best to the Lord, he meets that with the power of his Spirit. I love what my brother-in-law, Craig LaQuat, says. God is a God of multiplication. He can bless anything but nothing. God can't bless nothing. Anything times zero is give God a little something. You'd be shocked at what he could do. Look at all the little something miracles in the Bible. You like the loaves and the fish story? That's a little something miracle, isn't it? Jesus said, oh gosh, all these people are out there and they're hungry. Well, let's feed them. Jesus didn't say, food appear. And he invented like Western Sizzler. He didn't do that. Jesus said, is there anything around here that could get us started? Is there anything blessable around here? He said, this kid's got, you know, lunch. In a Dukes of Hazzard lunchbox. And Jesus said, have the kid bring his lunch here. And Jesus just starts expanding what's there. You give God something, he'll expand what's there. God's not going to read your Bible for you. How many of you doing the Read the New Testament with me this year? Yeah. God's not going to read your Bible for you. You got to make time to do that. You say, well, Pastor, I don't have time. Let me tell you, we all have time to do the things that we have to do. Can I hear an amen from somebody? You know, I've never had anybody walk up to me and say, Pastor, I haven't had time to use the restroom for 16 weeks. Nobody's ever said that. We all have time to do the things we got to do. It's never a matter of time. It's always a matter of priority. So God is going to give us power. Love is going to flow out from us, but we also have to have some self-discipline in there. There is a part that we play in this scenario. Verse 9, God saved us and chose us. I love this. He saved us and he chose us. God picked you. One of my most horrible memories of my life was my freshman year in high school. I don't know what happened. It had to be a scheduling error. But they put four of us freshmen in the senior boys' PE class. We were tortured all year. Things that would be highly illegal today were done to us on a regular basis by these upperclassmen. But the worst part of all of it, and there was a lot of it, but the worst part of all of it was when they picked. See, they used to pick sides. Those of you that are younger, you may not remember this. This is back when people thought getting excluded built character. And so... you get picked, and the seniors would like, first they, let's say basketball, they would pick all the senior basketball players. Then they would pick all the senior athletes who weren't basketball players. Then they would pick people who weren't athletic but didn't seem to be anti-athletic. Then they would pick all the anti-athletic seniors, and there were always the four of us. We were always left. It was the four of us. I was 6'1". I weighed 142 pounds. And there I would. And then they'd start arguing over who had to take us. They would. They would argue over who had to take us. And somebody would say, pick Bishop. And the captain would go, I don't want him. It's terrible. I heard that! Had no effect on me at all. I barely even remember it. We we have all endured rejection of a thousand kinds. And we've all been rejected a thousand times in our life. But don't you ever forget that God picked you. The Bible says it's not us that wants God, it's God that wants us. If God weren't reaching out to you, you wouldn't be reaching out to him. If God didn't want you here tonight, he would not have prompted you to come here tonight. God picked you. So on the days that you're just really having a bad day, just remember, well, I'll tell you this, God selected me. He selected me. What an incredible thing. And not only did he select us to be his own, but he also gave us the perfect cocktail of gifts for what he created us to do. We are empowered uniquely and specifically by the Holy Spirit. And I want to argue that the giftedness that we have is a little bit like a thumbprint. Nobody's are quite the same. So you all have this unique mix of gifts that makes you exactly what God wants you to be. God saved us. God chose us. So what should we do? Verse 13. So we need to hold on to the right teaching. We need to hold on to right teaching. Proper teaching is based on Holy Scripture. Scripture is a constant in a world of variables. It does not change from culture to culture. It does not change from time to time. Jesus is who Jesus is in 1000 AD, in 2000 AD, and in 3000 AD. Jesus will still be the way, he'll still be the truth, and he'll still be the life, whether people like it or not. The Bible is clear that false teaching is a dire threat to the ministry and the mission of the church. False teaching has to be identified, treated, and eradicated. The Spirit-filled church cannot stay healthy in the midst of false teaching any more than a human body can stay healthy in the midst of cancer. No one wants an oncologist who believes deep in his heart that cancer has a right to live too. Holy teaching cannot abide by false teaching and heresy. It must be driven out or it will kill the church. I have been and I will continue to call out the abundance of false teaching I see in our culture today that is not aligned with the clear and consistent teaching of the Bible. And I know some people are not going to like it, and try as I will, I can't seem to care. Verse 14, with the help of the Holy Spirit, carefully guard that which has been entrusted to you. Do you know in John 10:10, Jesus identifies Satan as a thief. Any good thing that's in your life, Satan wants to steal from you. He wants it. You got a good marriage, he wants to steal it. You got a good job, he wants to steal it. You got a strong family, he wants to steal it, because that's what Satan does. He comes to steal and kill and destroy. That's what he does. That's why we have to guard that which has been entrusted to us. Gifts are a little bit like a campfire. They need fueled and tended and contained and guarded. Campfires can bring beauty and warmth, or they can get out of hand and burn your whole house down. We need to be tenders of the holy flame. We need to eradicate the things that come to destroy it. And we need to guard what God has entrusted to us. So let's re-examine 15 specific gifts of the Spirit. And then we're going to look at them in the context of what they produce, how they present themselves to us, and how our gifts can be used in the service of Christ and his church. So this is what we're going to do for the remainder of our time together. And I want to see which gifts you have, and I want to give you some direction as to how to plug those gifts in. We're just going to take 15 that we have uncovered over these weeks in our passage. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. Number one, pastoring. This is not what some of you think. This is the gift of assuming long-term personal responsibility for the spiritual warfare of a small group of believers. They protect and serve. They are, in the Greek, shepherds. Literally, a pastor is a shepherd. So what is the result of good shepherding? healthy and flourishing Christians. Shepherds do two things. They feed the sheep and they shoot wolves. And if you're not willing to shoot some wolves, feeding the sheep is going to be academic pretty soon because you're not going to have any. Shepherds. Characteristics. These are people who enjoy having responsibility for the spiritual well-being of a group of Christians. I've got to tell you, this is not what we have today as a pastor. This is a different kind of gift. It doesn't mean that some pastors don't have the gift of pastoring, but it does mean that not only pastors have the gift of pastoring. So let me tell you some places you can serve. If you have the gift of assuming spiritual responsibility over a long term for a small group of people, here's some places you might serve. Connect group leaders. Accountability group leaders. You say, well, I don't really know how to get in one. Well, maybe you could form one. Maybe you could get four or five people and just form one. Several years ago, I was invited to this thing in the South, and it was pastors that pastored very large churches. And they all got together, and they got together a couple times a year, and they just supported each other. They talked about best practices. It was really a great thing. I'd never been in anything like this. I'd never thought of it like nationwide. I got back home, and I thought, man, I wonder when we're going to do that again. And God just put it on my heart. We don't have anything like this in the Midwest. Why don't you invite six pastors from across the Midwest who are in huge churches, and why don't you replicate here what they are doing there? I did that about 5 years ago, and some of my deepest friendships have come from that group. That is simply pastoring. It's getting a small group of people together and nourishing each other's souls. It's being willing to call those things together. So a connect group leader, an accountability group leader, congregational care. Carmen, raise your hand. Carmen is right here. Our congregational care reaches out to people. I mean, today we were with some people in the worst day of their lives. And you're there with people. And you pastor people, and you care for people. Heading a parachurch ministry. It's not just what happens here at Christ Church. There's various ways that people care for small groups. So if you are a shepherd and you're comfortable with a small flock, you have that gift of pastoring. How many of you say, I've got the gift of pastoring? Raise your hand. Okay, all right. Number two, hospitality. The gift of hospitality is providing an open house and a warm welcome for the purpose of Christian fellowship and growth. So the result of hospitality is atmosphere conducive to Christian growth. The characteristics, I enjoy providing food and or lodging graciously to God's people, to people in need. I love to make strangers feel at home. I love to invite new people in to fellowship. My sister, Jill, and her husband, Craig, have the gift of hospitality in huge ways. In huge ways. They open their home up for Bible studies that they are not even in. When they finished their basement, a part of what they wanted to do was to open that up. It is a gift of hospitality. It's a beautiful gift, and it's a really important gift. So where are some places you could serve? Hosting a connect group at your house? Maybe you've got a big, beautiful house. God's blessed you with that. Maybe it's not all for you. Right? Maybe it's not all for you. So, hosting a connect group. You know, another place that you could exercise hospitality is being involved in our children and student ministry. Because they eat. We want them to feel comfortable. We have people who provide hospitality to students and children here. The cafe. I mean, some of you probably always wanted to work at Starbucks. We got like a Jesus Starbucks kind of thing here, you know? And I see so many people come to our church for the first time, and they're just wondering if they're going to fit in. Is this going to be cold? You know, do they have snakes? They wonder all these kind of things. And so they come in, and I always say, you know, the cafe's right over there. I don't know about you. You put a good cup of coffee in my hand, my day's starting to improve. You get somebody smiling, serving me a cup of coffee, boom. Maybe you could be those people. That's really an important ministry. A welcome or a greeter. When you come in, there are people outside who are welcoming you. It's really cool that they're out on days like today, but do you realize they're also out when it's really cold and when it's really hot and when it's raining and when it's snowing? They're out there to serve. And I have so many people say to me, I can't believe your greeters were outside in a snowstorm greeting us. And you know, it's kind of funny. Nobody thinks Packer fans are weird for that. But when they see that kind of commitment in the church, it kind of throws people off. Maybe you could be one of those people that lets others know just how glad you are that they're here. And you're willing to get a little cold or a little hot to be able to let them know how glad you are. The building and grounds team. We have a group who, this week, they went through all the landscaping. They trimmed all of the bushes. Not only does that save us a fortune, but it gives people a place to serve. Because when people drive in here, they see a beautiful facility. It's inviting. It's welcoming. Those are really important areas. How many of you, in some way, have a gift of hospitality? You just love serving people. Yeah, it's a beautiful gift. Use it. Use it. Exhortation. This is a gift that is given to people who just love to encourage others. They love to give wise counsel. They love to give personal support. They love to get spiritual empowerment. They just got the gift of lift. They got the gift of lift. There's other people that got the gift of not lift. But this is not them. These are the gift of lift kind of people. Exhortation. What is the result? Uplifted Christians. They just lift them up everywhere they go. Characteristics. These are people who enjoy the developing, wavering, troubled, discouraged people. These are people who go out of their way to encourage these folks. So they see somebody that's at a strategic time. Maybe they're wavering. Maybe they're just developing. But they gather around them. They encourage these folks. They are exhorters. They see good in people, and they speak that good in people. They speak life into people who are down. They speak confidence into people who are developing. I mean, exhorters, people love them. People love them. Man, you want to exercise a gift? You say, well, nobody likes me. Start exhorting people. At least a few will. All right? At least a few will. Start exhorting people. Lift people up. Where are places to serve? Welcome team is great. Upward sports. Believe what you will. Exhorting children. Exhorting them. Being a part of sports ministry for kids. Children and youth ministries. Guys, we've got some kids in our student and children's ministry that they need role models. They need people to love them. They need people to support them. We've got kids that need the church, and I am so glad that they are here. But they need encouragement. They need encouragement. How many of you maybe were a kid that got in a lot of trouble when you were growing up, you know? You know, everybody tells you how bad you are, and before long you start believing it. What would happen if you started telling people how wonderful they are? What if we started with kids? What if we started telling kids how wonderful they are? Can you imagine how you could change the world if you wanted to do something like that? That's what exhorters do. Connect group leaders can be exhorters. Wonderfully Made Ministry is ministry to children and adults with special needs. What a beautiful gift to exhort, to lift up. These are all things you can be involved in. So those are places to serve. Number four, discernment. The gift of discernment is a gift of supernatural intuition and insight. Discerning people separate truth from fiction. They know at an internal level when people are being honest and authentic, what's of God, what's not of God. So what's the result of discernment? It's knowing the truth. It's seeing beyond what appears to be and getting at the heart of the issue. So characteristics, these are people who tend to look beneath the surface and examine motives. People who can easily and accurately recognize whether something's from God or from Satan or just from human origin. Discernment is a really powerful gift. Because you can just tell if people are lying to you. Melissa's got that. Man, you ought to hear Melissa talk to somebody that's lying to them. But she just goes, Adam. I'm just sitting there with people. I'm just sitting thinking, I've got great advice for you. Do not lie to this woman. She will destroy you. She just has a gift of discernment, man. She will call it out. Call it out. So where are places to serve? Counseling. Congregational care. Prayer teams. And again, connect group leaders. These are really important places to use that gift of discernment. Number five, giving. The gift of giving is the deep commitment to provide whatever resources are needed to support God's will and God's plan. People with the gift of giving realize that they have been blessed for the purpose of being a blessing. It's just an attitude of generosity. What's the result? The needs of the Christian community being met. I read something a long time ago, and my facts are all wrong, but it was staggering. It said something along the lines of if every American Christian who attends church would tithe, that every church budget would be met, every church debt would be paid off, and you could educate and feed every hungry person in America. We had that kind of potential. If Christians would give 10% of their income to the church and to the Lord, there's that kind of potential there. So giving, the needs of the community. So here's the characteristics. People who give manage their money well in order to give it to God's work. And they know that God will meet their needs. So they give sacrificially, they give consistently. And they're always looking for opportunities to give. They're just looking for those opportunities. Places to serve, Vision 2020. The church always needs support of its ministries. This church does not function without financial support. There are all kinds of great parachurch ministries, things happening here, supporting a Philippine scholar, Bibles for Honduras, Right Turn, Feed My Sheep. We've got all kinds of ministries that operate out of here, are affiliated with us. They're on their own, but they're affiliated. Fellowship of Christian Athletes, that list goes on. No Greater Love Ministries, all great places. Fill the pantry. When we do that, that's an opportunity to give. And then just everyday life, just be aware, be in response to needs. And I'm just going to give you a little tip here. Stop telling people, if you need something, let me know. They won't. If you see somebody needs something, just do it. So you got a friend, you know they don't have insurance, and they just had an unexpected medical crisis. Well, if you need help with that bill, just let me know. Of course they need help with that bill. Of course they need help with that bill. And no, they're not going to let you know. So just do it. Just help them. Just help them. And point people to resources. You know, we have a thing at this church. This is for people who attend here. It's called Network of Caring. If somebody is in a time of temporary financial crises, we've got a ceiling on how much they can receive and how many times they can receive. But we help people. I mean, lots of people. We do it quietly. We do it discreetly. You may say, well, Pastor, I don't really know who to give to. Give to the Network of Caring because we've got plenty of people that need help. And a lot of them come to the church for that help. So support things financially. Support things. That is a gift of the Spirit. I'm going to argue all Christians are commanded to tithe, but there are some that have a special gift of giving, and it gives them incredible joy. One of the things we've got coming up this fall is our Legacy Foundation. Melissa and I have included the church in our will, and we want our last tithe of our estate to go to Christ Church. That is an opportunity to give as well. Number six, mercy. This is a gift of compassion that moves people to action on behalf of those in need. Compassion is not a simple caring about others, but it's such radical caring that we have no choice but to make sacrifices for others. most of us are happy to help people if it doesn't require much of us. So let's say you've got plenty of money, and somebody has a need, and you give them $100. For some of you, that would be a massive sacrifice. For some of you, that would be nothing. It's really easy to help people when it requires nothing of us. One-timers are kind of fun. We're going to do a one-timer Sunday. It's really going to be fun. It's called our Hot Tin Roof Offering. You're going to love it. No family can give more than $5. It's just fun. We're going to make a major impact, and it's going to turn around quick. It's going to be great. Those are the easy ones. Oh, when you find out a friend's got Lou Gehrig's disease, and they need help, and it's going to go on indefinitely, that requires something of you. You see, people who have the gift of mercy don't just help out when it's easy for them. They have a gift, and they realize it's going to require sacrifice to be a part of that. We need to get away from light Christianity, because in our culture, it's not going to tolerate light Christianity, because all of us are going to get pounded. And if you're not carrying some heavy Christianity, we're going to lack serious firepower. This gift of mercy is incredible. Characteristics: enjoy visiting people in the hospital, retirement homes. You love having cheerful conversations with people who are lonely or shut in or in prison, people who are in crises, people who need extended help. You're willing to step in and do that. Places to serve. All kinds of parachurch ministries. I love Christian Activity Center. Wonderfully made volunteering. Prison ministry. Congregational care. That list goes on and on. Here's what I want to tell you. Before you sign up, it's going to be hard, it's going to be inconvenient, and it's not going to be when you want to do it. So just get over all that and serve God anyway. Number 7, intercession. The gift of intercession is praying for extended periods of time and seeing specific answers to prayer on behalf of others. The result is spiritual movement revealed in time and space. Every great thing that happens at Christ Church started happening when people started praying on a regular basis for this church. That's when it started happening. Late 90s, people started praying and God began to move in response to prayer. Intercessors always feel like there should be more. Here's the deal: if you're an intercessor, there's not going to be many more. God just gives this gift to a few people. You're carrying the burden for a whole lot of people. You just got to get over that and do it anyway, because God's called you to do it. But you, my friends, are moving the world. You are moving the world. What's the result? Spiritual movement. What are the characteristics? People who recognize prayer needs before others. People for whom prayer is something that is a massive part of their spiritual life. People who spend way more time praying than regular folks. These are the intercessors. Where can you serve? Visitation team, if you love just praying for people. Shepherd care, prayer team. Do you know we have people that come every Sunday and pray over every ounce, every square foot of this building before church? They get here before 7 o'clock and they lay hands on they pray over every single person that's going to be on the stage, and everybody on the stage just kneels before the Lord. That's how we start our days. And I've got people that show up to pray. And you say, well, 7's awfully early. No, they get here earlier than that. And you say, well, how do they do it? They get their carcasses out of bed. Because God's given them a ministry, and they understand how important that ministry is. Intercession. Number 8, evangelism. The gift of powerfully and effectively proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. The result? New Christians. New Christians. Evangelists make brand spanking new Christians. These are people who joyfully share how Christ has brought them to himself. They love to meaningfully encounter not yet believers. They love leading people to Christ in decisions. They just like sharing Jesus. Places to serve. Groups like No Greater Love Ministry, our Honduras ministries, our Philippine ministries, our invite team. I'll tell you right now, we're getting ready to launch a major evangelism, just a major evangelism movement in the late summer, because I got great news for you. The road is going to be done before fall. And so we are going to have a road again. And so we've got to leverage that, because we'll be able to say to people, you can now get in and out of Christ Church, drum roll please, on a Sunday morning. It's kind of tough to invite people to church when you know they're going to be cursing loudly as they try to leave. But that is all going to be a whole lot better. I want you to start praying about the great about to be. So even tonight, when you try to get out and you can't really get out and you're there for like 12 minutes, just look and envision in faith those five beautiful lanes we're soon going to have and how traffic's just going to flow. It's just going to flow. And we're going to repair our parking lot. It's going to be beautiful again. But why repair it when you got big trucks on it, you know? And it's going to look great. We're going to have banners on our poles. This place is going to look fantastic. We're going to be shining like a new dime. And it's going to happen really soon. And we got to start inviting people to Jesus. That's what evangelists do. They get excited about it. Number 9 is teaching. The gift of teaching allows people to transform data and information that they find in the Bible into life-changing knowledge. The result is growing Christians. Characteristics: they enjoy new biblical truths. They love to learn them. They love to communicate them to others. They like to train and mentor new disciples to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. Places to serve all over the place. We got a group called R3 that does some great ministry in the East St. Louis area. We got disciple classes, student ministry, tween ministry, 4th, 5th, and 6th graders. Man, do those kids need Jesus? And they need incredible help in this culture today. Maybe you're called to do that, to teach these kids how to be men and women of God. I've got 2 older grandsons now who just entered tween ministry. I would be honored if some of you would pour Jesus into their lives. As a grandparent, I would be honored if some of you would pour Jesus into my grandsons, because they're just little savages. And they're going to grow up to be men of God. Can I hear an amen from somebody? But they're not going to do that accidentally. They're going to do that because we pour into them, because we teach them. I had somebody say, we need somebody to teach children. They say, I'm not sure I know enough about the Bible. I'm sitting there thinking, you don't know more than a kindergarten student? You probably know more than you think. Just aim low. Just aim low and start there. But don't let that be an excuse. Don't let it be an excuse. We need teachers. We need teachers in our wonderfully made ministry. We need mentors. We need people who will invest their lives in others. Number 10, faith. The gift of faith is more than belief in Jesus Christ. It's an abounding foundation of confidence that God works all things together for good, and that they, the people of God, can just rise above any obstacle. People of faith have to come out in times of crises, or none of us would get through. They're the people that say, it's going to be okay. There's going to be life on the other side of this. You hang in there. We can do this. We've got this. God's got you. These are people who don't just say it. They believe it. They believe it. Many years ago, a friend of mine by the name of Jill and her husband attended church I pastored, and her husband built those high towers, those big towers, and there was an accident. He fell off, and he was killed. And she called me on the phone, and she said, I wanted to tell you because I know you believe. I know you believe, and my husband believed too. You see, when people are in dire situations, they need to be around people who have the gift of faith. They could tell them, yeah, it's bad today. I'm not going to lie to you, but there's something on that other side. Characteristics: trusting in the power and presence of God, knowing that God is reliable when everything looks dim, speaking hope into hopeless situations. You want to know where you can serve? This is really odd. Communion stewards need to have the gift of faith. They need to believe that what they're doing is transformative in the life of somebody. You know, as a communion steward, you can impart that faith to somebody else. Do you know what you're telling them? This is the body of Jesus Christ. What kind of proclamation is that? This is the blood of Christ. People on the finance team. Dave, we need people with the gift of faith on the finance team. We need people to say, we got this. We got this. Let's go get them. Restore Network, prayer team, Legacy Foundation. We need people who have the gift of faith. Number 11, leadership. This is a gift that is a visionary and forward-looking kind of thing that enables people to stay focused on God and on where God might be leading us as individuals and congregations and communities. It just keeps everybody on mission and moving forward. The result is effectiveness in mission. And the characteristics is I know where I'm going. I watch other Christians follow me. I enjoy leading others to improve and involve themselves in God's work. Leaders are in the front. Leaders are in the front. And places to serve, places you got to make decisions. Safety and security ministry here. We need leaders. If there's ever a crisis, I don't need somebody looking around wondering what to do. We need somebody to take action. Faith community nursing. Fellowship of Christian athletes. Anywhere that you're in a ministry that's just going to involve leaders, I just invite you to step up. If you have the gift of leadership, lead. Lead. You say, well, nobody wants me to lead. Then start leading yourself. And then let it grow from there. Administration. Gift of administration allows people to organize. Organizes people, organizes resources, makes things more efficient and effective and successful. The result is coordinated and affecting ministry. These are people who enjoy organizing ideas and people and resources, and they always want to do things better and more effectively. They can delegate responsibility. There's just this gift of administration. We don't need people who are just paper pushers, man. We need spiritually gifted administrators. Characteristics, enjoy organizing for the mission of the church. Technical team, bookstore, cafe, every area we have in this church needs leadership. 13, healing. The gift of healing is about believing that God can bring bodies and minds and emotions into congruence with the teachings and the person of Christ. It's the ability to be a conduit of God's grace and healing, and it's reaching out to people who are suffering, people who are in pain, people who are hurting. You don't run away from that, you run toward it, and that's a gift of healing. The result is people helped and testimony being offered to the power of God. Characteristics, people who pray for others and actual healing occurs. People who pray successfully for others, for restoration of health, for deliverance, apart from natural means. This is a spiritual gift of the Holy Spirit. Where to serve, congregational care, shepherd care, community nursing, visitation teams, places that we reach out to people. But people with the gift of healing are drawn toward difficult situations, and they believe that God has the power to turn them around. Last one is service. The gift of service is doing for others, sometimes to the exclusion of meeting personal needs. You are laying it on the line for someone else. People being helped in Jesus' name is the result. And these are people who enjoy taking care of just whatever needs to be taken care of. They will do whatever needs to be done. Some years ago, when we had the sanctuary in here, the highest ranking officer in our church was here in their military uniform, high ranking officer. Guess what they were doing? Sharpening pencils. And I said, you volunteered to sharpen pencils? Yep. I said, why? He said, I have to make really important decisions all day, and pencils need sharpened, and this is a way I can serve. And I thought, praise God for humility. Because everything that happens in the context of the church is important. And none of us are too good to do even the least thing, as Jesus demonstrated for us when he washed his disciples' feet. Places to serve. Bookstore, cafe, pew crew, building and grounds, technical team, the list goes on and on and on. So, we're at the end of the series. So, now's the part where you have the big ending. And usually I tell some kind of great story and look for a mic drop. We're not going to do any of that. Just not wanting to work that hard tonight. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to invite you to be the big ending to this series. And it's not going to be right now. It's going to be if you go out and start getting a sense of where your gifts are and begin using them, even in small ways to get started, you will begin changing the culture of this church. You will begin impacting the ministry of this church in really powerful ways. But how do you start? Where do you begin this process? The Bible says that fan the flames that you got through the laying on of hands. So here's what I'm going to do. If you need a filling of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to ask you to stay for just a couple of minutes, and I'm going to have some of the church leaders lay hands on you and pray that you'd be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'll be right here, and I'd be happy to do that as well. But any of our church leaders, staff, any of our leadership of the church who feels comfortable with this, I want you to come up to the front, and I just want you to be ready to pray with anybody that wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So just come on up, those of you that are our staff, on our key leadership here at the church, and then come on up, anybody else that feels called to this. Maybe the Spirit's prompting you, saying, hey, you are filled with the Spirit, you should pray with someone if they want to be prayed for, okay? All right, this is kind of starting using those gifts. I'm going to stand right here, but these are people who are comfortable praying for you. They're not going to do anything odd. They're just going to simply pray that you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, for those of you that are already filled with the Spirit, I'm just going to have a prayer for you, and then I'm going to dismiss, and you can go meet with your groups or go on home, watch a hockey game, whatever you want to do. But I'm going to dismiss after that. But I do want to pray for fresh wind and fresh fire for you. And then I'm going to stay here for a few minutes. These folks are here. If you would like someone to lay hands on you and pray that you be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is the technique that is in the Bible. This is how the Bible says to do it. So why don't we err on the side of doing what the Bible says to do? How about that? What if that's our new mantra here? We're going to err on the side of doing what the Bible says to do in terms of practice. And we're going to trust in the Holy Spirit to provide the firepower. Everybody stand up. Just going to ask you to bow your head, close your eyes right now, and just spend a minute in the presence of the Lord. How many of you would say to me, I need fresh wind and fresh fire. My flame is smoldering a bit, might even have gone out a bit. I need a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. Would you just raise your hand right now? Almighty God, I want to pray for these who are holding up their hands to you, dear God. They are just saying, we need fresh wind, we need fresh fire. So Almighty God, would you forgive us of our sin? Would you forgive us for those areas in our life that we're already full of self? And there's no room for the Spirit to come in. We repent of our sin. We repent of our rebellion against you. We repent of throwing off your rule and reign in our life. We repent of wanting to do things our way and not your way. We repent. We pour these things out before you. And we thank you that when we confess our sin, you are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. And we receive your cleansing. Right now, as clean vessels, we ask that you, Almighty God, would just rain upon us. Dear God, would you fill us with your Holy Spirit? Would you give us tongues of fire that land upon us? Would you fill our hearts? Would you fill our spirits? Dear God, would you absolutely envelop us with your power? Dear God, for those whose wood is just all wet, would you come down like you did for Elijah? And would you absolutely consume the sacrifice of our life? And would you fill us with your Spirit? Almighty God, we can't do this on our own. We can only do this through your power. It's just too hard. But through Christ, we can do all things. So we thank you, dear God, for that fresh wind and that fresh fire that you have imparted to your servants. And now, dear God, for those who maybe before the series didn't even know what sanctification or being filled with the Spirit was all about, who've just never had that hands laid on them, dear God, and the invitation of the Spirit to fall, I just want to pray that you would give them the boldness just to stay after a couple of minutes and let somebody pray for them to be filled with the Spirit. Thank you, dear God, for these 7 weeks we've spent together. They have been incredible. And I pray that no matter where we are, that these weeks would change how we think, they would change how we minister, and that we would lean out of our own fear and timidity, and we would lean in to the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray it in the name of a risen Christ. Amen. Everybody, go in peace quietly. Those of you who would like to come up, we'd love to pray that you'd be filled with the Holy Spirit.